Welcome everyone to the Woke in English podcast. My name is Gabriel. I am your host. Joining me today is Guy Trengo from the UK. Guy, how's everything, buddy?
All good. Getting ready for Christmas. How are you?
I'm doing well. Joining me also is Facundo Salazar from Miami. Facu, how's everything, buddy?
Gabby, Guy, how are you guys doing?
Good. Getting ready for the holidays too. How's the weather in Miami? Tell me.
Weather is okay. It was super cold last week. I mean, when I say super cold, for me, it's like, you know, 65 Fahrenheit, like 10, 15 degrees Celsius. Uh-huh. But right now it's like very cloudy. There was a little storm happening last week. You know, so my pool was a mess. But besides that, everything's good.
Very nice, very nice. I missed the Miami weather when I was there over the summer. Guy, how's the weather over in the UK?
It's surprisingly mild at the moment, I'd say. It's not too cold. All the stereotypes, of course, that we freeze our asses off every day of the year. That's not true. It's quite mild.
That is a big stereotype. Here in New York, it's 37 degrees Fahrenheit, which even colder yesterday. Couldn't even be outside. It was freezing. But anyways, let's jump right into it. We're going to discuss a couple of things. I think the most obvious thing is the club's election, and I think a lot of listeners are going to be interested, is the absolute mess that was the elections or following up to the elections. So we have tier one members and tier two members. Tier ones are the ones that could vote, and tier two members are simply members who would do everything else except for voting, and they basically wait on a list for many, many years to become tier one members. It's pretty much what I am since 2016. So you have roughly about, I think for this election, there was 90-something thousand members eligible to vote for the upcoming elections. The elections were set to be held on Saturday, December 2nd. The reason being Saturday, December 2nd is to allow members from the surrounding provinces of Argentina to make it to Buenos Aires, to make it to La Bombonera and vote. You have to vote in person at La Bombonera. There's no mail-in, nothing like that. The opposition, made up of Ibarra and Macri, the ex-president of Boca in the early 2000s, late 90s, and ex-president of Argentina as well, knew that the more people that showed up to vote, the less of a chance they had to win. So then they went ahead and I forget exactly what they did to move the elections over to Sunday. Reason being is because then you basically cut out a bunch of people from the surrounding provinces, don't allow them to travel in time to La Bombonera to vote and make it back home to work on Monday. People in Argentina, because of the economic situation, they have to work. You can't miss work to go vote at your club's elections, essentially. So then it was moved to Sunday. Then it was suspended because of a suspected 13,000 members were moved secretly over from tier two to tier one by the current board. A lot of investigation went on. A lot of people took a look at those 13,000 members and what was going on. It turns out, yes, a bunch of members were moved over from tier two to tier one to be able to vote. But a couple of those 1,000 members were also moved from tier two to tier one by the previous board, which are sort of affiliated with the opposition, Macri and Ibarra. Those members were also moved over from Angelisi's time as president of Boca Juniors. Then you had this going over to court, essentially. You had a first judge who excused herself because people found out that she was a club member, and then a second judge also excused herself because people also found out that she was a club member. And then I think a third judge was appointed by draw. Everything ended up going to the appeals court, who revoked the measure impeding the elections. Boca's YouTube channel the night before the elections, which was held on the 16th, the 15th at night, Riquelme was going to address the club members. The club's official YouTube channel was taken down by the government, is what a lot of people suspect. Another YouTube channel had to be created, and Riquelme spoke on that one. But basically, I think that's it in a nutshell. I don't know if you guys have anything else to add, anything that I might have missed. That's essentially what happened. It's just a lot of back and forth and the government getting involved in the club's elections. The opposition have a lot of friends in the government who allowed them to delay the elections and delay and delay and delay. And I think we can all agree here that it didn't work in their favor. This basically outraged a lot of people. A lot of people who I think initially weren't going to vote they didn't really care too much for it. They didn't think it was important. Went ahead and went out and exercised their right to vote. So that's essentially what happened. The results are as follows. Riquelme Namel won with 30,318 votes, which is 65%. Yuara and Macri won with 15,949 votes, which was 34.4%. Those are basically the election results. A lot of people agree with them. A lot of people don't agree with them. Let me get your guys' take. I'll go with you first. Tell me, you know, what your thoughts are on the elections as a whole.
What you said there about it annoying lots of people, the way that they were acting behind the scenes, is so true. You could see it on social media. You could see it when you talk to your friends that are also Boca fans. It outraged a lot of people, and there were lots of campaigns saying, we're going to vote. It doesn't matter when we have to vote, we're going to vote. It doesn't matter what day you choose. You can choose 3 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday night. We're going to vote and we're going to get rid of you. We don't want you to come back after previous mandates with Angelisi and Macri, of course, although his was very successful. There's lots of people that still don't like him, which is fine. I'm not very keen on him either. I think that he's quite slimy. I also thought that the way it all started, the outrage all started, was because just the thing that you couldn't remember was that they basically did fraud. They said that 6 or 7 members of the Jewish community that were Boca members asked for the elections to be moved to that Sunday. I think it was the 5th or the 4th, I can't remember, December. And then the next day, when that had been reported, it was also then reported that 3 or 4 out of these 5 or 6 people turned up to the club offices to say, with lawyers or with legal people, to say, oh no, I didn't ask for this to happen, because it was done in individual members' names, right?
It's unbelievable. I didn't even hear about that. That's incredible.
So slimy and really quite fraudulent, I think. So it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically, there's no other way to summarize it. It is slimy and it's very uncomfortable. Faku, I'll go with you next. Tell me your thoughts on the elections as a whole.
Gabi, can you hear me? Yeah, I think
that's,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's sad what happened. I mean, Gabi and I, you know, we talked a lot about how, you know, we live outside of the US, outside of Argentina. You know, we live in the US, so every time we want to plan a trip to go to a Boca game, like, we don't know anything about it. Like, we cannot plan ahead. I am a, you know, tier one member, so I am able to vote. What if I would have booked a ticket from the US to go vote to Argentina and all these things happen? You know, I would have wasted money and, you know, plane tickets, hotel, everything is so unorganized that it's sad. I don't care about the results. Let's say that whoever wins, but it's sad that we as a country, we as an institution, you know, a football team, we cannot have some coordination to go vote. That's what people just want. Like, I heard a lot of people that were planning on going on Saturday, but then they moved to Sunday. They had to change their flight. They had to change their buses. Then they moved it 2 weeks later. You know, when I went to Rio, I met a lot of people from outside of Buenos Aires, and they were so confused about everything. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know when to ask for PTO, you know, to leave work. It's just so confusing that it gets to a point that you're like, all right, I'm just not going to vote. Like, I cannot afford changing jobs. I cannot afford losing money. You know, but luckily for us, you know, Boca fans are so proud of what we are, that a lot of people show up. I was a little bit sad because I really wanted to break the record of Barcelona.
Yeah.
That was like 58,000 people voting. And I really want to break that. And I feel like if we would have voted the first day, the Saturday, the second, we easily would have been 70 or 80K members just voting. That's what makes me sad about all this thing. You know, one thing is to play dirty in a campaign between you two, you know, Riquelme against Ibarra or vice versa, but I think just involving the, you know, the justice and like judges that don't know anything about us, that's what makes me sad. You know, I feel like the power, the government is controlling us, and that's not something we want for our club.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for the opposition, I think it's pretty obvious. I don't like the opposition at all. I don't like those people, the way they manage the club for all those amount of years. Even Makkari as a president, yes, we were very successful, but, you know, you can't attribute Boca's success entirely to Makkari. I'm very vocal about being in favor of the current board, and, you know, I wanted Riquelme to win. You know, I'm not going to hide it. It's 100%. You know, I even vocalized it on social media here and there. I will be critical of the current board. I was critical numerous times. I have no problem doing that. But as the opposition, you can't sit there and go on interview and more interviews saying, you know, we want the best for the fans. We're doing what we can for the fans. We want to vote. And then every couple of days, the election gets delayed because you submitted a new something to the court for them to delay it, and you're using all your friends in the government to delay the elections, and you're making it a living hell for people. You know, we've addressed,
I feel, Gabby, that it's not a coincidence what's happening in Argentina right now. Like, 3 days
it's
ago,
it's normal.
President,
it's normal for
three
them.
3 days ago, the Argentina president came out saying in a presidential, how you call it, mandate or whatever, that now clubs can decide if they want to sell, let's say, let's call it shares. They will sell their shares to private entities.
Yeah.
That was banned before by the government. And it's no coincidence that now the president is coming out and say, hey, now you can do it. So sometimes I think it's like, what would have happened to Boca if we would have lost the election?
Yeah, they wanted, it's another thing. The opposition wanted eventually to make the club, turn Boca into a private club. Like, you know, if you're listening to us from the United States, the New York Giants, the Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, all those teams are all privately owned. That's exactly what they want to do to clubs in Argentina. There's already rumors of Chelsea looking at a club in Argentina to purchase. I think that's extremely dangerous. I think once you lose your club and everything that it entails in a very private neighborhood, and you're so passionate about your club, and once you lose the right to vote and the right to have a say in what goes on in your club, that's it. You lost it forever, and you're never going to get it back. And these people, I mean, it's happened to clubs in Mexico where, you know, somebody will buy a club, change the badge, move the club to a totally different province, a different city, demolish a stadium, build them a new stadium, get rid of the entire coaching staff, all the players, bring in a bunch of new players. The club is now a different club. It's completely, granted, I don't think that would ever happen to Boca, knock on wood. But I'm scared. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. You know, there's obviously pros to private ownership and the money that they can bring in and all of that. But if at any given point they want to move Boca from Buenos Aires to Ushuaia near Antarctica, then they're going to do it. And there's nothing you as a fan can do about it. I think that's it. That's all I have on the elections. I don't know if you guys want to add anything else. Facu, Guy?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think
so. No, it's like you say, Gabby, it's scary because we've seen it happen in different clubs around the world, right?
Yeah.
So we see it for some. The first that comes to my mind, because I've been to a stadium, is Valencia in Spain.
You know, Valencia, it's so sad. It's terrible what's going on at that club.
Yeah. By some Asian company, I don't remember the name. They wanted to demolish the stadium to build buildings, you know, to like rent buildings out. And they wanted to build a stadium in like outside the city. That's ridiculous. If you've been to Valencia, Valencia's like in the middle of Valencia. So of course, real estate would be huge there. But then it's like, are you here to make the club better or just here to make money? I understand that, you know, if Chelsea comes and buy whatever club in Argentina, they are here for the money.
Yeah.
Sometimes the beauty of our sport, the beauty of us being so passionate is like, it's not about money. The fact that I wake up every day and I watch a poker game and it makes me happy, it's probably one of the few things in life that are not materialistic. You know,
yeah.
I'm not going to oppress that feeling because, you know, some entity comes by my club and starts to changing the names, starts changing the colors. I mean, it's not fair to us. You know, it's not fair.
It's all a business for them. It's all a business. Yeah. And let's be honest.
Like, everything in life is business.
Yeah. It's the one thing that's not business. Let's keep it that way.
Correct. Correct. And, you know.
Sorry. The way that Makkari spoke about that striker from Qatar, when he was doing an interview, He was doing an interview. I don't know if it was on TNT Sports or TNT. I don't know.
I think it might have been ESPN that he was on.
Perhaps. It's not really that important. But he was saying that to guarantee a sponsorship with Qatar Airways, to guarantee an extension to the shirt sponsorship that we had at the time, like a sheikh or someone higher up in the Qatari government had said, you need to sign this player so we get good publicity with you, and that way you can keep your sponsorship deal. And then the fact that we spent a year without a sponsorship, a shirt sponsorship, under Amiel and Riquelme's mandate, Macri was lambasting the two of them about that as if it's something to be proud of, that you're using the club for your own economic gain, or you're doing
his friendship. Essentially, is what it was. Is his friendship? He has a friend in Qatar, and he said, "Sign my son. He's the striker of Qatar, or you're going to lose Qatar Airways." And Riquelme confirmed this. A couple months later, we lost Qatar Airways as a sponsor because the current board didn't want to sign Qatar's number 9. And Riquelme said, and I quote, "With all due respect, I don't know that man's name, as in the player, the Qatari number 9. How are we going to sign somebody who we don't know what their name is, how they play? They haven't been scouted by the club. Just to keep a sponsor? It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous." But that's what these people care about.
About this? Yeah, it's like, you do it once, you set a precedent. You know?
Exactly.
Like, what's stopping us from, like, Elon Musk coming, like, 10 years and say, "Hey, I give you $50 million, I want my son to play." You know? I don't know, it's just ridiculous. And the fact that they said it on live TV, you say, "Hey, yes, we did this. We wanted the number 9 of Qatar to play to keep the sponsor." It's just ridiculous. But whatever. Thank God it's over.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one more thing I wanted to add is, you know, these European clubs looking to buy clubs in Argentina or South America in general, I think one of the other main reasons that they want to do it is for youth players, to make it easier to transfer youth players from the club in Argentina, per se, to the parent club, let's say Chelsea, for example, because that's the team rumored to be looking or interested in buying a team in Argentina, is to make it easier for them to acquire youth players, low transfer fees, this and that. So they're essentially using the clubs. And I don't think it's good. I think a team that does this very well is Manchester City. They have their parent, I think it's called City Group or City Football Group, something like that. And they have clubs all around the world, one of them being, correct me if I'm wrong, Bolivar in Bolivia. So I think they have
City Torque in Uruguay.
Yeah, man. Yes.
You have New York City.
Yeah, NYCFC.
And
I think maybe they have
yesterday, and this is ridiculous for you guys to know. You know Girona in Spain.
Girona, yeah. Like
First on the table right now.
That's City Group.
Do you know? Yeah, that's City Group. Did you know that if they qualify for the Champions League, they cannot go to the Champions League because Manchester City is as well on the Champions League?
No way.
How ridiculous is that? I swear to God.
Imagine being a Girona fan, having a historic season, you can't even play the Champions League. See, this is what I'm talking about. Another one is Red Bull. Red Bull has many teams. They have New York Red Bulls. They have a couple Red Bull. They have a Red Bull in Germany, a Red Bull in Austria, a Red Bull in Australia, a Red Bull Bragantino in Brazil. And, you know, these parent clubs, they use them. And it's easier for players to transfer from one club to the other. That's why... that Argentine striker that was playing for New York City FC, I forget his name, made the move over to Girona because it's very easy.
Castellanos,
exactly. So it's those sorts of things that will occur if these people get a hold of our clubs. Again, I don't think, you know, I'm going to add River to the mix. I don't think it would happen to Boca River. I really don't think so. But I can see the smaller teams getting bought out. Talleres is one of them who's very vocal. Their president has been very open about becoming a private club, Sociedad Anónima club. So to each their own, you know, it's sort of an infestation. You get one club, it's easier to get a second and a third and a fourth, and it just grows exponentially. I think it's very dangerous. I hope that never happens to Argentina. I just miss Argentine football from the early 2000s, a too simple 18 fecha tournaments, 38 as a whole. Or 19 FIFA tournaments, 38 as a whole over the year. I miss that kind of football. The Argentine football of today, the domestic league, is just very poor, very, very poor. But anyways, it's a topic for another day. do you guys want to talk about the repercussions of the elections and sort of the coaches that are being named and rumored?
Sure.
It was very prior to the elections of the results. Riquelme said multiple times that he has a coach in mind. He didn't want to say the name, but the very next day that he won the election, sort of the name would come out. He would say the name, which he obviously didn't say the name, but it's been rumored that Diego Martinez is going to be Boca's new head coach. He had a very successful time over at Tigre and has since been at Huracan. He left by mutual consent. It still hasn't been confirmed by Huracan. Tato Aguilera actually confirmed yesterday that the board has already offered him a contract. So it looks like Diego Martinez is going to be Boca's new coach. Me personally, I think out of the names being rumored to arrive at Boca, the opposition had named Martin Palermo as a coach, Boca's all-time leading goal scorer, absolute idol. I wasn't a big fan of Palermo being Boca's coach, at least not yet, maybe in a few years, but not yet. He just had a successful stint over at Platense, getting them to the Copa de la Liga final, unfortunately losing to Miguel Angel Russo's Rosario Central. But that's basically the only successful stint that he had. Before that, he had subpar stints at clubs in Chile and Argentina and so on and so forth. But it looks like Diego Martinez is going to be that guy. Diego Martinez is somebody who coached in Boca's youth academy, I think, in 2014, 2015, 2016, around then. So he knows a couple of our young guys. He knows Blondel, our right back. There's a couple, maybe one or two other players that he coached at other clubs. He's been one of the more interesting coaches in Argentina domestically because of his tactics and the way he sets up his teams. I think him, alongside with Gago and Milito, were the favorites. I think within all the fans, I think, wanted one of those three. Me personally, I think I would have opted for Gabriel Milito. He had a very, very, very successful stint at Argentinos. And when I say successful, I mean what that club can achieve. They played Libertadores football. They did very well domestically. Again, the way his teams were set up were very good. But I'm not disappointed with Diego Martinez. I think he's a coach who brings a lot to the table. His the way he analyzes games and sets up his teams and all that, it's something that does draw me to him. I'll go with Facu first. Tell me what you think about Diego Martinez. Do you like his appointment? Again, this is all unofficial. It's not confirmed by the club, but it's looking like that's the way that it's headed. Tell me, Facu.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, obviously one, you always want the best, right? Like, and I always feel like I want somebody that's a little bit more experienced, that, you know, they coach a bigger team. Martinez football is good. I mean, he did very good at Tigre. He even beat us in a final a few years ago. He did a very good job with Huracan. Like, Huracan was not in a very good spot last year. And, you know, he came out of relegation. He was able to compete in the last Copa de la Liga. So he got a good thing. The thing I like about him is, like, he knows what Boca is. He knows how to talk to kids. He knows how to bring them up. I mean, he coached Colo Arco in Boca's youth divisions, which is huge. I mean, I'm not saying that it's going to change anything, but the fact that he was part of Boca before makes me feel a little more comfortable. You know, for example, I talk big against Milito. I feel like Milito really hates us. And I don't know if me as a fan would tolerate him, you know, as a coach. But that's just me being, sorry for my language, but me being an idiot, you know, because it has nothing to do with his coaching skills. But I like the three options. I mean, Gago, Milito, and him were good options. I would have, I don't know, I feel like I wanted to see Gago a little bit, which is, again, it's weird because he didn't have a good coach. He wasn't a good coach on Aldo Civi. He was good at Racing, to be honest, but it wasn't like, wow. But I don't know, I just feel like maybe it was his time to prove himself in a bigger team with better players. The only thing I want from my coach is the same that happened to the Argentina national team. I want them to start cleaning up the house. Yeah. You know, there's some players that not deserve to be a Boca anymore. And I really just want a coach to be like, listen, you sucked for that 3 years. We're going to give a chance to somebody else. I mean, if it doesn't work out, you can use them. But, you know, we need to see some change. We cannot have the same 11 that finished this year because we didn't qualify to the Libertadores. That's just embarrassing for us. So we need a change. We need people to realize, hey, you messed up your chance at Boca. Somebody's going to come and replace you. But I think it could be a good option. And the fact that we are not playing Libertadores might take some pressure off him. So we'll see if that's a good option or not. But again, who else? I always ask myself, I ask my friends, I talked to my parents the other day. I say, who else? Who will you bring? And there's no very big names that you can bring to Argentinian football right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Guy, I'll take it over to you. What do you think of Diego Martinez?
I like the appointment. I think that he's probably the obvious choice. I would have liked Gago, but in the last couple of years, the relationship between Boca as an institution and the fans sort of became a bit strenuous, I think. That's my view of it, anyway. But I sort of admired that about him. I mean, he put Racing ahead of Boca whilst he was an employee of their club. I mean, I think that's totally respectable. The one thing I would say, though, is that the conversation was that Diego Martinez, as soon as Riquelme is announced, becomes president after the elections, the conversation was that Diego Martinez the next day will be announced. He's still not been announced. Like you said, it's not been.
That was expected, though. You, we all knew that was an exaggeration from Roman, especially because Diego Martinez still hasn't sorted his termination over at Huracan. I think it has a lot to do with that.
Sure, but we're losing time that we could be using, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the summer window. I think we were supposed to, our players were supposed to come back from preseason on the 26th of December, and because we haven't got a manager, they've postponed that back a bit, I think. I'm not sure if that's true.
January 2nd. Yeah, Tuesday, January 2nd.
Yeah. Okay, so I imagine between the 26th and this is when it will probably become official. But it's frustrating. We're watching time pass and we're not really doing a lot. Considering the work that I think we've got, the trimming down of the squad we've got to do as well.
Right. I think one thing that could be said, elections were delayed by 2 weeks. It's 14 days that the club didn't work on bringing in a manager, didn't work on bringing in players. I'm sure they were scouting and listing players that they were interested in and whatnot, but they couldn't really move forward with it without, you know, officially being recognized as winners at the election. So I think election had a lot to do with that. I think, you know, the people in the opposition, that's another thing that we can say to them. Listen, you did this whole mess to absolutely get annihilated at the elections, and then you just delayed our club from making moves at the transfer window. And this will hurt us. This will absolutely hurt us because preseason now is starting a week later, like you just mentioned, from the 26th of December, now January 2nd. You have preseason games that might be delayed. I don't think Boca is playing any preseason games. I'm sure they will, but I haven't read anything. I've read about a bunch of different clubs in Argentina. I haven't read a peep about Boca. You know, then the domestic league starts and the Copa Sudamericana starts. So we're going to have a slow start. It might be another rocky start to the beginning of the year like it was in 2023. And that's really unfortunate. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles, unfortunately. I think we have to bring in Diego Martinez, as you guys said, immediately, and they have to get working on some signings. A little bit more about Diego Martinez. I think his most successful stint would probably be at Tigre, where he coached from 2021 to 2023. And I know you mentioned, Facu, that he beat us in a title, was it?
Yeah. I think it was like Copa de la Liga a few years back.
Campeonato. He won. I think we beat them in the Copa de la Liga. I remember Fabra scored an absolute golazo. I think it was like 2-0. I think he did win. He did bring Tigre up from second division, though. Copa de la Liga. Yeah, he was Copa de la Liga runner-up in 2022.
Remember that game that we lost 2-0 against them? That
Yeah, I don't think he was a coach, though. I think that was 2020, 2019. Yeah, he wasn't. I don't think he was the coach, because I don't see it, at least not on Wikipedia. It's not on his accolades. Regardless, you know, his stint at Tigre was exceptional. It was very, very well. And Huracan was a team that was set to be relegated. And now, if I'm not mistaken, they're playing Copa Libertadores or Copa Sudamericana next year.
Oh,
Huracan.
No, they're not playing anything. They just got. They finished. I mean, they lost against Platense, but they're not playing anything. They were very bad in the. They were last with Arsenal, Arsenal when he took over in the relegation thing, and now they're like 18th out of 28. So he brought them up a ton.
Yeah, I think they made the playoffs of the Copa del Rey, which Boca didn't. So, you know, I like Diego Martinez's appointment. Go ahead, guy.
Even to get to the quarterfinals from the position they were in when he got the job was impressive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely impressive. All right, let's touch on players that are rumored to arrive and depart, and then we'll close this one out. Players rumored, Eber Banega. I don't think I have to say too much on him. If you're a Boca fan, you know who Eber Banega is. He's playing over in Al-Shabaab, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, in Saudi Arabia. Apparently, they owe him a certain amount of money, and he has decided with his family to return to Argentina. He's 35 years old. He's looking to terminate his contract over there and sign with Boca. Kevin, I'm pronouncing this in English. I don't know how to pronounce it in Spanish. Kevin Zenon from Union. He's a midfielder, 22 years old. I don't know how you would pronounce it in Argentina. I don't know how they pronounce his name in Argentina.
Zenon.
Kevin Zenon. Yes. I don't know too much on him. I don't know if you guys can add anything. And Federico.
The only thing I can add about him, he has a very, very good free kick. He's a very, very good free kick taker. Fantastic.
Okay. Something that we need.
Yeah.
Federico Pereira. He's a center back for Liverpool of Uruguay, but on his Wikipedia, it says he's a right back. So maybe he could play both positions. I'm not sure. He's 23 years old. It also looks like Toluca of Mexico want to sign him. Players that have departed, Diego Pulpo Gonzalez and Facundo Roncaglia, will not renew contracts with Boca. It has been not confirmed by the club, but basically confirmed by every other media outlet that they both will not continue with the club next year. We also have Nico Valentini, who's rumored to be watched by Lazio of Italy. I think just transfer fees that are being thrown out there, $8 million, $10 million. Dollars, something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I think a bunch more players need to go. Like Fabra, we mentioned a bunch a couple episodes ago, Guy. I think maybe the last episode. But what do you guys think on, I'll take it to Guy first, on those potential signings and departures?
Zenon, I don't know a lot about. Banega, what worries me is if we go after Vidal as well, I'm not sure how much truth there is in that, but it's circulating all the time. I mean, Vidal this, Vidal that. I'm really worried about just filling the midfield of really quite experienced but older players, especially, I keep mentioning him in every podcast, but we lost Varela in July, and he was a huge loss to us. Also, Sotelo has been talked about, but he's gone on loan to Gremio literally yesterday. That was announced, he's gone on loan for 2024 to Gremio, and I think that was just complete nonsense. That was not going to happen. I think that's it, right?
Excellent. Faku, what do you think of those signings and departures?
I mean, I think that Banega, I mean, I love Banega. I don't know, to be honest, how fit he is, if he's in a good shape or not. I mean, like you guys said, you know, high-end players are great, but also they're old. So how much can they perform? A year? Maybe less than a year? I mean, we've seen how Cavani came in without a preseason and how he, you know, played the last few months. I mean, he's a fantastic player. He's amazing. But if without preseason, these players cannot perform. They get injured. They get tired. They're not confident enough. So if Banega comes in, I hope he does a great preseason, and let's see how he is. Zenon, I saw him a few times play for Union. I mean, he's a good alternative for, you know, the left wing. He was the main reason why Union did not get relegated. He scored like 3-4 goals in a row. You know, most of them were free kicks, but again, you know, he was very good in that side of the pitch. The fact that Pulpo and Roncaglia are leaving was about time. I would like to see more cuts from the team.
A lot more.
To renew. Yeah. Kind of to renew the air. You know, like, I think that Fares is a great player, but he's been with us for most six years. His attitude doesn't change. His professionalism is still the same. So when you have a guy for that long, it's it becomes toxic. The relationship is not there anymore between him and the fans, with him, you know, him and the club, because I feel like he lost some love for us and we lost some love for him. So I think it's time for us to maybe get something for him and get some money, or, you know, make a transfer that can help us. Everything else, I think it's okay. I mean, every position is covered, I think. I would like to see some substitutions to come in and change the game, but you know, lately we cannot have that because you need, you know, 13, 14 players to perform well to win championships. 11 is not enough. So hopefully that they can bring people to, you know, be good alternatives, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Fabra absolutely needs to go, like you already mentioned, Faku. But the one thing I do want to say about Fabra's position, if he goes, Colo Barco is another player who is rumored to be targeted by Brighton. I don't know if it's going to be at this transfer window. It's looking like it is. If we sell Colo Barco and Fabra leaves, we're going to have to bring in at least another player there. We have Saracchi there as well. Saracchi, who was mid, he didn't really perform as expected. He has some highs and lows in the second half of 2023. I'm not too keen on him, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. Bruno Alves, another player that needs to go, just really didn't bring anything to the table. Briaco, another player that needs to go, constantly injured, doesn't bring anything to the table. It hurts me to say, but obviously everybody knows how much of a big fan of Germán Campuzano I am. Somebody who just sort of lost his touch. He's not the same player that he was at Atlético Nacional when he played a really good Copa Libertadores a couple years ago. Another player who needs to go, Javi García, goalkeeper. It's rumored that he may not continue with the club and start coaching the goalkeepers, if I'm not mistaken. Another player that could probably go, Leandro Bray. He is rumored to be the backup goalkeeper to Sergio Romero. Bray is a really, really young keeper, 21 years old, who has been putting in stellar performances in the reserve side with Argentine U20 national team or U23 national team, whatever it is that he's playing for. So he's a very, very exciting goalkeeper. I think it's excellent to have him as a backup to Chiquito Romero, who has tons and tons of experience. Dario Benedetto is a player who's rumored to be targeted by a couple clubs in Mexico. I'm not sure what his situation is. He said that in Argentina, he's not playing for any other club. And he also, I think, expanded that to South America. The only team in South America that he's playing for is Boca, which I think is pretty wild to say, because that just takes you out of so many different clubs that could possibly want you. So I don't know what his situation is. Obviously, we already mentioned that Miguel Merentiel is staying. We have purchased him from Palmeiras. Excellent signing. Oh, Ramirez, another crappy, useless player that has absolutely got to go play in fifth division in Bolivia. I don't want to see him anywhere near Boca. Completely and utterly useless. Sorry to be so harsh, but I'm just so sick and tired of him every time he comes in. And yeah, I think that's a good 5-6 players that we mentioned that are absolutely leaving, that should leave, and we have to bring in replacements. We have to bring in quality, not only starters, but bench players, because a lot of times in 2023 when we were playing, you could just see that, you know, you look at our bench, and it's just no changes, no players that can make an impact, and that's worrying. You can't have that as a club. Anyways, guys, I think that will close it out. I'll go to each one of you just one last time. Faku, anything else you want to add before we close this one out?
No. I just wish everybody, you know, happy holidays. Enjoy the family. You know, these times are a great reminder to hug and love everybody around us. Wish Boca a very nice 2024. And, you know, pleasure to be back on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Faku. Guy, anything else you want to add?
No, just echo those sentiments. Happy Christmas for everyone celebrating, and for everyone that it's not a great time of the year, there's always people that you can talk to. There's always someone you can reach out to. I wish everyone a happy holiday and a one day walk. Come on, 2024. We've got to get our house in order.
Absolutely. I agree with you guys. I'm not going to add anything else. You guys said it perfectly. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the last podcast of the year. We will absolutely be back at some point in January, sort of previewing the preseason signings, coach, and all that stuff. Happy holidays, everybody, and take care.